So what are we going to do?
Can you feel that?
What?
We're about to make the best Expression Blend 3 video ever.
Welcome back to Silver Lake TV. Today I have a kind of special guest.
Thanks. It's a good way to make your guests feel comfortable and welcome.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I think in the last episode we had, people were actually writing in complaints to me saying that I was teasing you a little too hard about how you forgot where you were.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I have a real thick skin, so no worries there. It's all
right. Yes, and just so everyone's clear, Adam was let out of the home recently, so he's okay now.
But I still have my protective jacket on.
Yes, he does.
So.
But anyway, that's not why we're here. We're here to make...
We're here to make a big deal about Expression Blend 3.
Yes.
Because as I've been watching your shows religiously every night at 10 p.m., you've grossly forgotten about Expression Blend.
Yes.
So I'm here to fix that.
Yes, and that was my intention. I figured if I just ignored it for a while, it would get you to come on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, it worked. So good job.
Awesome.
So yeah, Expression Blend 3, you know about it somewhat. It's a great tool for... doing the interaction side of Silverlight applications.
Right.
Right. So doing the design tasks, and that's what I want to show you. So, I should get started, right?
That would be a good idea.
Okay. So here's the deal. I'm a client, hence the jacket, and what I've done is I've talked to an agency, and I've said, hey, and this happened just last night. I said, I need a design. We're talking about a login workflow. How do we do it? So the agency says, wow, you need it tomorrow? Luckily, I have this great tool called Sketchflow. And Sketchflow is a component of Blend that allows you to create prototypes. And once you rapidly create your prototype, then you can send it off to the client in this Silverlight application format. So that's what I'm going to show you. When I bring this up, what we're looking at is a web page. And this is the prototype within this thing called the Sketchflow Player. So if you see I'm the client and I'm looking at this, I can say, okay, so we're going through the login process. What do I do? Well, I can type in stuff, and then I can hit login. And now I go to this processing stage. And if you notice, they've used like a notepad, a custom text block here to say, this is just processing. This is nothing amazing. And then we'll say success. And then here I've gotten to the data. Right. And another thing to look at is the sketch styles, right? These are very sketchy styles. That way the client doesn't harp in on the colors and the design and say, yeah, I like the workflow, but I don't like the blue, right? So these are styles available with Sketchflow.
So there's no false implications of this is truly a prototype. There's no...
Yeah, there's no like, hey, that prototype looks great. When can we publish it?
Tomorrow.
You know, yeah. So as you've seen, I've got this navigator in the Sketchflow player, and also the agency, the designer, has made these buttons interactive. So once I click this button, and you know, this is a real text box, I can go to new stage. And the cool part about that is it's not just wireframes, it's not just a screenshot, it's an interactive prototype, right? But now the best part is when you go through this, I'm the client and I'm saying, you know, something you're missing here is, I want yellow, I know we want to show it on the camera, so like, you're really missing a light bulb here, right? So I can provide this feedback with this ink style, or I can say, I would also like a fridge, because fridge, refrigerators, that's what that's short for.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
They have light bulbs in them. So, okay, so now we've got this, and one more thing, if I go through here, I'm going to say, oh, let me go back to my icon. Okay, so I'm in this. I'm like, I like this, but I also want to see detail. Okay, so now I've entered in this feedback, and as the client, I can say, thanks for this. I'm going to send you my feedback now. So I'll put my name on there, say Adam Kinney, and send it away. Okay, so it says save the feedback. I'll put it on my desktop. I'll call this Silverlight TV feedback. And now what I do is I send that feedback back to the designer.
Okay.
And the designer, who created the Sketchflow, is living in Blend here. This is a view of Blend in Sketchflow mode. So you can see there's a couple things extra involved. There's this Sketchflow map, which is a great way to visualize the workflow, as well as also create new screens. So you can say, look, instantly I have a new screen.
Right.
That's a lot of fun, because it's really quick. But what I'm here for is to see the feedback that I've gotten from my client. So if I go back to my feedback panel, I can say add, go back to my desktop, and here's my Silverlight TV feedback.
So the client went and created feedback off of the IE application that they're working with, the web browser. Now they sent you that file.
Yep.
And now you're back at your desk.
Yeah. So if you see, like you mentioned, that's a great point. He loaded it up in his web browser. Mm-hmm. All I had to do is publish the Zap. He doesn't have to install anything separate. He just needs to install Silverlight. And everybody's got that, right?
So they should if they don't.
They should. So now what we've done is we've loaded up the feedback. And you can see here I have the light bulb. I have my ink feedback, as well as the text feedback. And then as an additional aid, you can see I got this little light bulb icon to show me where the feedback is.
Hey, it even tells you they asked for a light bulb.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Right. Yeah, right. Like it's a custom icon. Hey, that's a good match. Okay. So this is a quick, really quick view of Sketchflow. I didn't show the design process because it's just so fast. It doesn't really show up on video real well. So now what we're going to do is I've gotten the feedback from my client, and I'm going to go off into Photoshop to create the visual look of this. And now once I've done that, I can go right into Blend, and this is just Blend in regular mode, Silverlight application mode. And I can import that Photoshop file, import artwork. It's pretty handy. So now check this out. This is my Photoshop file preview, and this allows me to customize what I want to import, and also how I want to import it. If you look at, like, this is a path, or a shape layer in Photoshop, and down here I have this option to say, make an editable path, or go ahead and rasterize it for me as an image. On the text,
so you can pull in images from Photoshop as either images again, or you can pull them in as paths.
Yeah, depending on what they were in the Photoshop. It's like a really high fidelity import. This is another good example. You can see this is password, it's a password here, but then when I import it, it recognizes it as a text layer, and it says, do you want it to be editable text or a flattened bitmap? So in this case, I'm going to keep it as text. And you can see here, I've already deselected. I don't need the background, that's just white.
Right.
So, and you can see, I remembered the light bulb. So let's check this out. I'm going to hit OK. Get some big results there to tell me it was successful. And if we look in our objects panel, you can see, one, it's wrapped everything into a canvas. In the canvas control, it's great. It's XY positioning, just like Photoshop. So we're, again, back to that high fidelity. And if we go through here, you can see, let me go to the canvas. And if I change the background, one, you can see these are all text blocks, but also this image that was imported, it kept the transparency data. Like, that's a really poorly cut out image, but at least it shows you what's going on here.
Right.
So let me go back and reset this. And now I have my login screen, but this is my problem, right? This was a shape layer in Photoshop. It came over as a path, but I need it to be a text block. You think I can do it?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're still following. So the good news is I can do it, and I can do it really easily. Once I right-click on this, all I say is make in a control. It brings up all the controls that Blend knows about on my machine, and I can use the filter to find the text box really quickly.
So you're taking a path, and you're telling it to turn it into a
text
another kinds of control.
Text box, yeah. So what this becomes, really, is the template for the text block. So you can see here I have my path. Along with this path, I have this drop shadow effect.
Right.
And I'm going to zoom in so you can really see that. And the cool thing is, in Photoshop, there we go. In Photoshop, that was a drop shadow filter applied. And Blend recognized that and said, well, I can do drop shadows. So
oh,
go
cool.
ahead.
That
throw
is cool.
it in there, right? That's great.
It didn't pull in as an image. It pulled it in as what it is relatable to in Blend.
Right. So since this is a text block, I need one additional part because I have the background, I have the drop shadow, but I need the place to put the text. And I don't want the text block. What I need is a scroll viewer. And the part that the scroll viewer plays is a part. It's kind of cool how that works out. But the text box class, it needs to know where to put the text, right? And we use the scroll viewer because we want to enable text wrapping. So the scroll viewer is the best one. And so all I've done here, let me give it a little margin because of the rounded rectangles. Okay. So all I need to do, because I'm within the text box template, is say, make it into a part. The only part it cares about is the content element. That's where the text goes.
Which is the key element we're putting the template together.
So as soon as I click that, it says text box. That's pretty cool. So one more thing I want to do on this scroll viewer is get rid of the border. So I can do that easily up here using the properties panel. Okay, so now I've got my text box. But one thing is, you can see there's two different states there. When the designer, myself, I have to do this.
What are you doing, Adam?
I'm the designer. Ah. Can't you see that? That was going to be my visual aid to make you understand the stages, but I totally forgot that.
I was a little worried for a moment.
Yeah, so we'll keep that mistake in there, thanks. Okay, all right, so what I've done here, now that I'm the designer, when I was creating this file, I was trying to show the different states, right? This is the unselected state, the gray kind of dull state, subtle, I shouldn't say dull. But then this yellow and this drop shadow is the focus state. Now, since I said create a new text box template, I actually have the text box states available to me as well. So what I can do is, in the base state, I can say, well, drop shadow, I'm going to change the opacity and set it to 0, because this is the base, this is, you know, the default state.
The default state.
And then the path, I just want it to be that gray color. So I'm using the eyedropper here to go reproduce that gray color. And now, when I go to the selected state, or the focus state, I can say, okay, one thing is, at the top here, you can see I got this little red record button.
Right.
It's letting you know anything you change is now going to be recorded in this focus state.
So anything I click on at this point is going to be applied to this particular state.
Right, exactly, because I've left the base state, now I'm in the focus state. So now, once the text box is focused, I want to say, okay, let's go back to that yellow color for the shape fill. It's a little too bright. And let's change the drop shadow effect. We'll take it back up to, well, we'll say 70%. Okay, so, and then now when I look down here, make sure that got it, okay. When I look down here, you can see I also have these little red recording indicators as well to show me which elements are getting affected, which ones we're changing. It's a good way to navigate through this stuff. So let's go back out to the actual application now, because right now I'm in the template editing mode. So I'll just click the return button here, and we're back on the screen. So what I can do is I can say, all right, this... I don't need this anymore, I just need another text box. So I'll go over here to my toolbar, drop a text box, and you can see that I have the default one.
Right.
But luckily I've defined that as a full style that I can reuse, kind of like a CSS class. And if I go down, I right-clicked on the text box, and I say Edit Template, I can apply this resource that I just created. And there we go.
It looks exactly the same, and it's got all the states and everything else you applied.
Yeah. Trying to align it there. Okay, so I've got all the states. Everything's working here. We'll just run it real quick so we can test it, make sure it's working. I'm going to close my prototype. Okay, so you can see here it's in the base state. I click on it. I can go ahead and type just like a real text box.
Right.
I can even tab to the next one. Text boxes are pretty cool. Okay,
I'm so. I'm glad they added that new control.
You know, back in Silverlight 1. Anyways, all right, so we've got our login. This is just like we needed from the prototype that we worked on.
Right.
Everything's working, so I'm going to hide this for right now, and we're going to move on because we need that success screen, the master detail of data. Now, this is one of my favorite pieces of that came in Blend 3, and it's sample data as well as design time data. Because I don't know about you, but I don't work on a lot of static applications. I mean, I'm sure you don't work on any, actually, because you're the data guy, right? So when you're trying to design an application that has dynamic data, It can be really difficult. But this combination of the sample data, design time data, makes it so much easier. So I'm going to show you how that works. So what I've done is I've opened up the data property panel, the data panel, and I'm going to define a new sample data. I don't care about the name right now because this is just a demo. It's not a real application.
And this name doesn't surface anywhere that you're looking at anyway.
And actually, as we create this, it's good to point out it's sample data. So when I apply this design time data, it's only showing at design time. If I run the application, it won't show up. So you can actually have your application run with real data.
Right.
Unless, like in this case, I've checked the box and said, go ahead and keep it because I'm doing a demo.
Right, that's an option for you. It's always available design time.
Yeah.
But whether or not it's available runtime, you decide.
Right. So what I'm doing here now is you can see this is my data source, and I can define these different properties. So I have string, and you have a couple different types of strings. And one more that I want to add because it's really visual is an image. And I'm going to pull out some custom images here.
If you don't have images, will it generate images for you?
Yes. Yeah. It generates the chair images. I'm sure you've seen them. That's why I bring my own, because we keep showing those chairs.
Excellent.
So, you don't have to do the custom images. Okay, so what I've done now, if I go in here, we can see this sample data that I've created. Okay. And I can say, well, you know, I need... let's say I need 18. I need 18 rows of data. And also I can go ahead and like say, this one is Silverlight TV. So I can customize this data.
Right.
But the nice thing is, within a couple clicks, I have some fake data to work with.
Right.
Now, that's defining a new sample data. But when you're working on a real application, one of the useful features here is import sample data from XML. So that way, you can talk to your developer, and he could say, here's the data set. XML, go ahead and import it, and then it'll create model classes for this.
Okay. So it can pull in a hierarchical object graph from an XML file.
It's very cool.
Yes. Sweet.
So going back to the rapid part of this, though, now that we've slowed down a little bit, I can go ahead and say, well, I need the master detail, so here's my master list. All I did is drag out the data collection and then Blend said, oh, geez, let me give you a list box. And another thing there is it created a data template for me.
Didn't create that list box. It did it for you.
Yeah. All I did was just drag it out. So what I'm going to do now is just quickly update the data template a little bit, because this really shows off the design time aspect of this. So I have my list box, and what I'm doing now is I'm going to edit the additional template, and I'm going to reach into the item template, and that's what's displaying each data item.
Right.
You know all about that. Okay, so now I'm in item template mode, and here I have the stack panel, the text block, all of these things that Blend created for me based off the property types.
The types of data, the sample set.
Yeah, so it knew property 3 was an image, so it gave me an image control. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to change this layout type to a grid, and then I'm just going to kind of mess around a little bit here. And the beauty of this is that when I move things, you can see right away that it's moving it for all of the items, because it's like real-time updating.
So you don't have to guess in how wide you need things to be or where they need to be placed.
Yeah, definitely. And you get to see that across the whole list of items. So that's definitely one of my favorite features, because once you get into dynamic applications, you have dynamic data,
right?
It's hard to design these things without actually having some text. So,
and when you moved that, it moved it for every single item in the item template.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
The list box.
So if this is a good way to show it, right? It's updating all those in real time. So it makes this kind of stuff much easier. So now what I can do is back out of the item template. And along with like real applications, you use data binding a lot. And one of the nice things that Blend does is it makes that pretty easy for you.
I've heard of that feature. Can you tell us how that works?
You know I can't, but I know this book called Silverlight Data. That's just amazing. But I can show you the Blend version of it. So what I've done here is I've just drawn a quick grid out, and I'm going to pull out an image control, plop it in the grid, and what I want to do is make sure that image is as large as it can be, so I'm just clearing out the styles set so it'll stretch across.
So get rid of the margins and the
height
and width.
Okay. So I just got all nervous thinking I'm doing a data demo in front of you. I'm just kidding, though. I'm not nervous. Okay, so what I'm doing now is I've selected the grid, and I'm going to set the data context. And so when I click data binding, I get this create data binding screen. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite features in Silverlight 3 is element binding. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bind the data context of the grid to the selected item of the list box.
Right, because in Silverlight 2 you had to do that through code.
Yes, but I can do that now just with this great dialogue.
Right,
I don't have to type anything. That's the fun thing. And then the other thing is, too, like this is filtering by type. So Blend will say, you know, if you're binding to a number, mm-hmm. it'll just find the number properties or anything that can be converted. But so now what I've said is the grid is bound to the selected item of the list box. So what I need to do is go into the image, and now that it's going to have that context, I can go ahead and say, okay, let's data bind the source. And instead of the element property, I'm just going to go right to the explicit data. And you can see right here is a good example. I'm trying to set the image source, and it's only given me property 1 and property 3 because they're a string and an image source property.
Right.
The Boolean you can't bind without a converter, so it's kind of making this even easier for me. But I want the image. I don't want the string because that wouldn't work in this case.
Right.
Other cases it could. Okay, so I've selected property 3 as the source. And you see Blend gives me this little indicator. It's yellow, saying, hey, this property is bound to something.
And the pimple turns yellow next to it.
You know, we call that a property peg. Oh, no, I call that a property peg. Officially, it's called an advanced properties options selector checkbox square.
Yeah, I like peg or pimple better.
I think, you know, anyways. Okay, so let's move on from that. So now I've hooked this up. The only thing is before I run this, I need to make sure that my login doesn't show. So I'm just going to collapse it. But we're just testing out that data binding.
Mm-hmm.
See if I did it right. Okay, so here we have this list box. That's awesome. And as soon as I select an item, we get to see the picture.
Sweet.
You notice I haven't written any code yet. Isn't this fun? Well, this is fun. Okay, so here's Silverlight TV.
It truly is the best Blend 3 video
yes,
ever.
It is. It's amazing. I'm amazed. Okay, so, but a lot of it is your reactions. It's really helping me out. Okay, so let's finish this out here, because we've got a couple other cool things to show. So what I'm going to do is I've got my master detail. I'm going to group it into a grid real quick, because I want to show these two states, right? But not at the same time. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take this grid and throw it off the screen.
Wow.
Okay? So now what I'm going to do...
But you worked so hard on it.
I didn't throw it away. I just moved it. Now what I'm going to do is we saw the states before, and those were the states defined by the textbox class. But what we're going to do now is, within our user control, create mm-hmm. our own custom states. So I'm going to say add a state group. Visual state group. You know what? I'm going to go with the theme that we've started. We'll just call this the Silverlight TV group. Just want to make sure everybody knows what they're watching. So we have the base state, and what we want here is a login, and one more state, we want a success. Right?
So they're either in the login page, or they're successfully logged in.
Or they're in the base. Okay. So we got the login here. This is fine. This is what we want it to look like. And now we need to figure out what the success is. So when you get to the success screen, I'm going to move this off the screen. And I'm going to choose this grid and pull it down. Okay?
Okay.
But a couple things I can do here is, while I'm changing states, I can work on the transition. I can, because right now it's set to 0.
Yeah, there's no animation whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
It'd be instant. And then you'd be lost. You'd be like, whoa, what happened? So instead, I'm going to set this to 0.8 seconds. And also I'm going to take advantage of the easing functions, because they're fun and they make it more organic, not so linear and robotic. So we're just going to choose one of these. We'll just say cubic. We'll do circle.
That's a nice feature. Two with Blend 3 is, and so in Blend 2, wasn't that much more complicated to set an easing up?
Well, yeah, you had to do everything manually.
Exactly.
There was all the key splines you had to draw, you had to edit them yourself, right? And here we have some really nice defaults to get started with. Okay. So now that I've got my states set up, I can preview these right in design time. I kind of have to run the app yet. I can just say, okay, what's that going to look like? That's awesome, right? And so I've got my state set up. Let me zoom in a little bit so you can see it. But a nice thing is I've just set the default transition. I can actually set a custom transition based off of different factors of if you're going to login, if you're going to success, where you're coming from, right, all these different things. So what I'm going to do here is just to show it off, I'll say, whenever you're in the success state, any other state you go to, use this custom transition.
Okay.
So this one we're going to say 3 seconds, and we're going to use the bounce, just so you can see it here. This is not something I would do in real life. Okay, so I've got the success. I'm going to zoom in a little bit, and I'll go back to login. Wow, that's really long. So yeah, don't ever use 3 seconds.
Yes, the users would love that.
Right? It's taking forever, man. But the cool thing here you're seeing is that you have default custom transitions along with the default.
Because without that custom transition, you'd have to anything between success and login or success and base or any of those would use the transition that you already set up.
Yeah. So this is very useful once you get into more complex interfaces. So, okay. So now I've got these states set up, but I need a way to actually activate those, right? Kind of like a storyboard, an animation, you need a way to kick it off. So what I'm just going to do is add a button on the screen.
Clearly, now is the time where code must come into play.
Well, John, I'm sorry to tell you, we can get around that. Not get around it, but actually make this easier. I mean, it's funny because, yes, we're getting around the need to make to write code, but it actually makes it easier for somebody doing the interface design work.
Certainly.
Right? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pull out this behavior and apply it to the button. So in the objects panel here, you can see I've applied the goToState action. And can you guess what the goToState action does?
Does it write code for me?
Somebody wrote it already, but it allows you to apply this logic, right, in these little reusable chunks that we call behaviors. So when I go over to the properties panel here, you can see I have a trigger. It's an event trigger. By default, it's saying the parent. I applied it to the button, so it's going to say when the button clicks.
When the button's clicked.
And here's another nice thing that Blend does for you. It shows me just the events that the button does. If this was added to the text box, it wouldn't have the click event because it doesn't have a click event. But this is it's filtering out some of this stuff, making it easier. Okay, so on the click event, we're going to say go to success.
And it's going to operate on the target, which in this case is the entire user control.
Right. Good call. Good developer call out there.
Sharp like that.
All right. So we've got our selected text boxes. Now we're going to hit the button. The state comes in. We've got data binding.
Sweet.
It's amazing, right? Okay. So the nice thing about this is that the behaviors is an extensible framework. So you can write your own. And if you look in here, I've got a couple in the data. I have extra behaviors that don't come with Blend. And these are available through CodePlex at expressionblend.codeplex.com.
Are they free?
Yes, they are free.
Excellent.
Yeah. And there's a couple in here that I know you love, like call data method and invoke data command. Something important with commands.
Yes, something about commanding.
Yeah. I think there's a Silverlight TV episode on that.
There might be.
There should be, if there isn't. Jeez. Okay, but what I want to show in this case is just something crazy off the wall where I want to do a new trigger. Because by default, this is just using an event trigger. What I'm going to do is use this thing called a mouse trigger.
And this came out of the gallery?
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is on the CodePlex site. So, but if you look at this, it's got this designer, right, where I can draw. And the neat thing about that is not only is this a custom trigger, but it's also a custom designer for the trigger. It's a little WPF user control. So you can really take these behaviors pretty far.
Yes.
But what I want to do is just say, okay, so if I do a loop, that's going to be too hard to do. No, it's an E. I can write an E. Then we're going to go to state. And the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to move this up to the layout root level because it's easier to draw than on the button. It's pretty hard.
So, I'm wondering how you're going to do that on the button.
So here it comes. This is always the big finale. Ta-da!
Sweet.
Pretty cool.
So when the user does that particular mouse gesture or something close to it.
As you can see, this is a real application, right? So Here we go. And so this is just to show off the extensibility and the really interesting things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And the cool part about this is on the Microsoft Expression site, if you go to the gallery, which is one of the top navigation items here, you can see that they have a bunch of code samples available. But within here, there's a category called behaviors.
Okay.
There's 51 different behaviors, and there's some really neat ones in there, like physics behaviors and multi-touch behaviors. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is that somebody is writing this code, you just apply it to your objects, and then you get all that functionality.
I heard there's even a rotation and a swivel behavior in there.
Yeah, I think some data guy wrote this.
Somebody wrote that.
Yeah.
Now, this is great. This is open to the community, so these aren't Microsoft people writing these. These are anybody in the community. And there's some really good ones.
You just see that big green button? Upload. Right there.
Sweet.
You too can do that. So what do you think?
I think you've nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
This was truly the best Blend 3 video ever.
At least on Silverlight TV, right?
Yes, yes.
There you go. So I got that.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. I think we're done.
Are we done?
I'm done. It's Friday.
You feel done?
I'm so done.
I'm done.
All right.
All right, let's call it a day.
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming on, Adam. And
wait. Good. I've got something for you.
Oh, no.
Now that you've been initiated into Expression Blend, you get an Expression Blend 3 mug.
Expression Blend 3. So everybody who watches the show?
No.
Everybody who watches Silverlight TV will get
You know what, though? If some people find me at Mix 10, mm-hmm. I'll give them a mug.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Take a picture, find me at Mix 10, and I'm only going to bring a couple, so find me early.
You just look for the guy with a very large box walking around Mix. So...
Certainly.
But you'll be hanging out quite a bit at Mix, right?
Yeah.
You have a session coming up?
I do. I have a session, and it's called Flash Skills Applied to Silverlight.
Excellent.
It's very fun.
Well, that'll be really good. I'm actually looking forward to seeing that that session as well. So we'll be hanging out at Mix at the Commons, the big room that's going to be at Mix, to answer questions and to make fun of each other. So if you guys would like to talk to us, feel free to stop by.
Right on.
I don't know. You could have done a lot better.
Could have done like cartwheels and stuff. All right, let's go.
It was good. Let's get out of here, man. It's the weekend. Okay.